Sportscast, September 25th, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net. This show is brought to you by InstaBible, the great Bible on mobile, all in your hands, only available for iOS. No Felipe Franks for number 9 Florida. The Gators, in their first full game without the team's starting quarterback this season, looked as dangerous as ever, handing Tennessee its third loss in four games en route to a 34-3 victory lap on Saturday afternoon in the Swamp. With the victory, Florida officially starts a season 4-0 for the first time since 2015. Ryan Krista, how happy are you with this impressive start?
You know, I kind of expected Florida to win this game. I guess I was expecting to win this handily, and I guess I wasn't expecting Tennessee to be this bad. I know Tennessee was 1-2 coming in with, you know, the unexpected loss to Georgia State and then the overtime loss to BYU. But I thought they would just play harder, Tennessee, and I thought they looked more organized. But, you know, they had at times, like, uninterested being there. You know, they didn't have the fight. You know, I do think they have talent on the team. I don't think they have top-flight talent, you know, that the other teams in the SEC have. But, you know, Jared Rotano, the quarterback, is one of the highest-rated quarterbacks coming out of high school. Juwan Jennings is a great wide receiver. Callaway is a good wide receiver. You know, Trey Smith, the offensive lineman, is number one player coming out of high school in his class. You know, the Gators are able to force four turnovers, and, you know, the Volunteers never really looked comfortable on Saturday, especially on the offensive side of the ball. But what I really was impressed with was Kyle Trask. First game in 7 years since he was a freshman in high school. Quarterback D.R. King from Houston, who's kind of in the news this week for other reasons, but he was a starting quarterback in their same high school back in Texas. So Kyle Trask has always been on the bench. He had a chance to come in and play and rescue the Gators last week against Kentucky. But it's one thing, you know, to come in off the bench. It's another thing to, you know, start a game where the defense has a whole week to prepare for you. And he looked very comfortable in the offense. He threw, you know, a couple ill-advised interceptions. But, you know, I think there are interceptions that he wouldn't have thrown if the game was closer. You know, he's just trying, you know, make plays. But his overall gameplay was, you know, very encouraging for the Gators. You know, one thing we are struggling, we just, you know, we're having a hard time with just traditionally running the ball, you know. And for this offense to get to the next level, for us to compete, you know, in our gruesome month of October against the big boys of, you know, Auburn, LSU, and Georgia, you know, we're going to have to find balance. You know, what Kyle Trask did well was, you know, he was able to spread the ball around to different wide receivers. For the first time, you know, in a while, we were able to use the tight ends efficiently. Kyle Pitts scored a touchdown, you know, looked very good. Him and Trask definitely have a lot of chemistry. Then it comes back with, you know, Pitts was, you know, on the bench last year and playing probably in the second team with Kyle Trask. So he formed a lot of bonds over there. You know, Florida's very deep at the wideout position. Maybe lack the superstarness of their wide receivers, but the depth of them is there. You know, every wide receiver brings a different skill set. One player I would like to say who's been named the ball the last couple weeks is Jacob Copeland. This is a player who was one of the highest-rated wide receivers last year coming out of high school. Redshirted last year, dealt with injuries in the springtime. So this is really the first time the Gators fans have really got to see him play. You know, this big physical wide receiver is definitely the future for the Gators. If they're able to, you know, find some consistent running, you know, we're going to be able to challenge in the, you know, the next month. But the defense is playing well. They're optimistic, forcing four turnovers. Jonathan Grenard, the transfer from Louisville, has been a freak. Deflected three passes, you know, and Mark Wilson after having, you know, a tough game against Kentucky last week. The star cornerback came back and really shut down Jennings, you know, and got his first interception of the year.
Trask. He is a redshirt freshman. No, redshirt junior.
Junior.
Provided the gunslinging necessary for Florida to improve 2-0 in SEC play. It was Trask's first start since his freshman year of high school, just like what Ryan said. But he looked like a seasoned veteran with an impressive command of the offense, finishing the day 20 of 28 passing and 293 yards. Two touchdowns and two interceptions. Trask's 293 yards were zero more yards passing than Frank's ever recorded in a single game during the 27 he has played over the last three seasons. The backup quarterback, Emory Jones, provided relief for Trask, who also had a fumble in the fourth quarter with the game in the Gators' grasp. It was a circling of wagons for Florida's defensively as well. The Gators forced four turnovers, three interceptions, and one fumble, leading to 10 points. That's pretty good. Florida held Tennessee to its lowest offensive output in the rivalry since 1994, the same year the Gators shut the Vols out on the way to a 31-point victory. Which, you remember that game?
Oh, yeah. You know, growing up, the third week in September always meant Volunteers Week. Those games, you know, from then, you know, from really that point forward until, you know, the mid-2000s when Tennessee really slipped off, you know, those things, you know, while Georgia wasn't the power team that we see today, those games decided the SEC East and probably eventually the SEC champions, because the West was not as strong as they are today. It's kind of the tide to turn, you know. People would say, you know, Georgia is leaps and bounds better than anybody in the SEC East, which is might be true, you know. And then, you know, the SEC West, you know, usually comes down to Alabama and Auburn and LSU. There's a lot more depth. So back in the day, you know, the tides were definitely a lot different in the SEC.
As for Tennessee, a desperate search for momentum and positive vibes continues. The loss dropped the Vols to 1-3 on the season, but it's just their first double-digit defeat on the campaign. Their 0-1 SEC play for the third consecutive season, with neither of the previous two resulting in a winning record by season's end in league play. The Volunteers have a lot of work to do, don't they?
Yeah, they looked unorganized. I want to say, you know, I think Jeremy Pruitt's a good coach. He was a great defensive coordinator, but in your first time being a head coach and going to the SEC, it's tough. You know, San Diego, did you ever watch the hit MTV series, Two A Days, cover the team from Alabama, Hoover High School?
I have not.
Well, anyways, it's a reality show back, you know, mid-2000s, you know, following this team from Hoover, Alabama, who, you know, played in a baseball stadium because the crowds were so big. Anyways, Jeremy Pruitt was one of the focal points of that show because he was the defensive coordinator of that team. So that's kind of where he first got into the limelight, but he's worked his way up, you know, coordinator at several big-name schools. You know, he was handpicked by, after the the poor coaching search of a couple years ago, which left a lot of egg on the face in Tennessee. Phil Forma, the AD, picked him to be the coach. You know, if they give him time, you know, I think he'll get things worked out. But, you know, in this day and age in college football and college sports, you know, you want to win now. I don't know how much truth there is. There's rumors that if things don't turn up in the next couple weeks, that, you know, Palmer will actually fire Pruitt and name himself the coach to finish off the year and then eventually find another coach. You know, I hear a lot of that, you know, from, you know, the Volunteer Nation. I think that's more of fans, you know, wanting change and just really, you know, in Tennessee, the Rocky Top of, you know, football team is it, you know. But right now, you know, they're probably – them and Vanderbilt are very much struggling, and the toast of Tennessee has got to be the Memphis Tigers. But, you know, if they get through a time, I think, you know, he'll be able to change the culture. But, you know, Butch Jones left this program a shambles. It's going to take some time to repair it.
Next up for Florida is the Tigers of Towson. This weekend at the Swamp, non-conference matchup, 4 p.m. kickoff, and it will be broadcast on the SEC Network. What are your expectations for Towson? They are a NCAA Division I football championship subdivision.
Yeah, well, this is our kind of our last tune-up, mid-season tune-up. Traditionally, you know, we play these our second tune-up the last weekend, you know, second to last week in the year before we played our state rival, Florida State. But just because of scheduling issues, this game is played kind of in the middle of the season. So, again, like a couple weeks ago, we played Tennessee Martin, expect to be, a, you know, an easy win for the Gators and a chance to get a lot of people into the game. And you kind of want to rest your star players, you know, because next week, with Auburn coming to town and homecoming, you know, followed by a game down in Baton Rouge against LSU, it's very important for, you know, to stay healthy and stay, you know, choose that first half to keep your starters fresh and rhythm. But, you know, let's get a lot of people into playing time. You know, I expect them to win by at least 50 points.
Not 50 points. Joking. They are your citadel this weekend.
I hope not, San Diego. Citadel seems to drive some people crazy after Nick Saban last year and asked Georgia Tech to last to the Citadel this year.
Something to definitely look at. But, yeah, as Reinette was saying, they have Auburn the following week and then LSU, back-to-back heavy hitters in the SEC. Both are in the top 10, so Florida will be tested. We'll see if Florida's real their real colors will shine, see what they're all about. You know, the only toughest team was just Miami, but that's not saying much.
No, you know, they're more talented than everybody they played. So now you're going against teams that are equally talented or maybe more talented than you. You know, this is where I think, you know, coaching comes in and, you know, execution the way they want to play. Last year, they showed that they can play with a lot of these teams, you know. They were able to beat LSU at home. You know, I think they played pretty much even with Georgia, and they played a pretty bad game for it, you know, which I thought was very encouraging thing. And they, you know, they left a lot of points on the table and still were able, you know, play score for score with Georgia. You know, this team is, you know, they're still kind of finding their identity now with Kyle Trask. You know, look good, but, you know, can you do it week in and week out? You know, like I said, that I'm getting rid of next week against this week against Townsend, you know, because he's going to be being going to, I think, one of the best defenses in the country in Auburn, you know.
Will Franks be ready by then?
Franks is out for the rest of the year.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. That's why I have you to tell me here. Let's look at the ACC this past weekend. FSU defeated Louisville 35-24.
Yeah, you know, kind of, you know, again, Florida State got out to, you know, a little bit of a lead, and Louisville came back. James Blackman got knocked out of the game, and, you know, Louisville took the lead, and they had come in with Wisconsin transfer Alex Hornibrook to come in and kind of save the day. It's good for Florida State to get that win. You know, falling to 1-3 for that program would have been devastating for them and Willie Taggart. But the real image of the stadium is, you know, looking around, you know, the games on Saturday, and you turn to that game, and all you could see is just empty seats. Santiago, this is Florida State. This, you know, Doak Campbell Stadium, and all you can see is just, you know, empty bleachers for an ACC game. You know, that's kind of where this, a telling to, you know, sign of where this program is and where fans think this program is.
We'll see. You know, hopefully, hopefully they can bring back the James Winston days.
Yeah, well, you know, as a Florida fan, I don't know if I want to be that good, but, you know, it's kind of nice to see them stumble a little bit, but just to think where their fans don't even want to show up is incredible. You know,
that's unexcusable.
I don't know if there's attendance figures, but on that game, but it can have been more than 40,000 people.
Unexcusable. Other ACC scores: Boston College defeated Rutgers 30-16. Not a big margin.
No, game was close in the first half. I mean, Boston College coming off an embarrassing home loss to Kansas absolutely desperately needed this game, and they got a win, and a win on the road in college football is hard, so yeah, they'll take that. But, you know, they don't look to be as strong as I thought, and I thought they were, you know, be one of, you know, one of those teams that, you know, could help the ACC in regards to not just being a one contender team in Clemson, but I don't see it so far, Santiago.
Wake Forest defeated Elon 49-7. That was a convincing margin. Syracuse defeated Western Michigan 52-33. Not a major, well, somewhat a good margin for Syracuse.
Well, I mean, I guess the best thing for Syracuse, you know, that they got scoring. You know, this is a team that they thought, you know, they had a high-powered offense, but has really struggled this year to get things going. Coming off a, you know, a tough home loss on prime time the week before the Clemson. You know, they used this week to kind of get things good on offense. I was just kind of surprised to see how much Western Michigan was able to score on that Syracuse defense.
Tightest game of the ACC, Pittsburgh beating UCF 35-34.
Yeah, huge win for Pittsburgh. I probably said on the sportscast last week, I really didn't think this game to be very close. And talent-wise, I think, you know, UCF still has a lot more talent. But that was a big win for Pittsburgh and Pat Narduzzi. You know, they don't win many games in Pittsburgh, but they won a lot of big games in Pittsburgh. You know, remember, this is a team that beat, you know, eventual national championship Clemson a couple years ago. They struggled, you know, offensively the week before against Penn State. They played hard. They lost by 7. You know, this week, you know, they jumped off to a 21-0 lead against UCF before UCF kind of put the turbo jets on them, eventually took the lead, and then they pulled off what they call the Pittsburgh special to, you know, a pass back to quarterback Kenny Pickett for the touchdown to eventually take the lead.
Appalachian State defeated North Carolina 34-31. Is that an upset?
It is an upset that whenever a Group of Five team beats a Power Five team, you know, we're just talking about how good of a win that Pittsburgh win was over UCF. You know, this is a bad loss for Mack Brown in North Carolina, losing to in-state team. You know, App State's a very good team, and maybe one of the best Group of Five teams out in the country. Fundamentally sound, but when you're at home against a Group of Five team, you got to take care of business, and this is kind of a, you know, a black eye for the conference again.
Miami defeats Central Michigan 17-12. I've heard Manny Diaz not happy about this result, even though they won.
This is a team, Central Michigan, actually, a little tidbit of information, coached by former Gators coach Jim McElwain.
Which you're very familiar with.
Yes. The Chippewas came into South Florida and, you know, gave the Hurricanes everything they wanted. This is a team that 2 weeks before had lost 63-0 to Wisconsin. So, you know, to see the scoreline is not a really, you know, good look for Miami. And the ACC struggles with the, you know, perception. You know, sometimes on the sportscast I hear others talk about, you know, Clemson, you know, this puts a lot more pressure on them because if, you know, they stumble against one of these teams, you know, the ACC will probably be left out of the playoffs. You know, I don't expect them to stumble, but, you know, even if they go undefeated, do they think they deserve a number one seed? Because the ACC just is not that good, Santiago.
Not that good. Virginia defeating Old Dominion 28-17. That's not good for Virginia. It seems it should have been a blowout.
Should have been, but, you know, San Diego, this is the Old Dominion team that beat Virginia Tech last year and jumped out to 17-0 lead against UVA before UVA got things going in the second half. It could have been a little bit of looking forward to their game next week against, or this week against Notre Dame, but, you know, the UVA, which looks to kind of be the second best team in the ACC, I think, we'll see how they do when they trip up to South Bend this week.
NC State defeating Ball State 34-23. Another close, you know, close game in the ACC. I mean, you know, yeah, they won, but it's just, this is how weak the ACC is.
Yeah, again, San Diego, when you get these games, you're looking to make a statement for yourself and for
it's convincing.
Conference, you know, and I just, they're just lacking that, you know. They want to, you know, they want people to take them seriously, you know, but it's hard.
It's been hard for the ACC. They're not having a good year, but Clemson have a convincing result beating Charlotte 52-10.
The stand of the game is that Clemson played, let me tell you, 111 different players in this game, San Diego. If they wanted to play, you know, they could have named the score against Charlotte, San Diego. You know, it's, that's not the issue. You know, Dabo has always been one to, you know, they get these opportunities not to embarrass the other teams, but to use this opportunity to play a bunch of different players who would normally not get into any games. Trevor Lawrence in this game was 7-for-9 for 64 yards. So, I mean, they, you know, they just basically use it as kind of a, what you kind of see in a preseason NFL game.
Well, moving on from the ACC, let's go into the NFL. The Denver Broncos are 0-2. They lost against this past weekend against the Packers 27-16. What is the state of the Broncos as we know it?
Well, actually, I wish they were 0-2, San Diego, but they're 0-3.
0-3. I'm sorry. I missed the score. They lost against the Raiders, the Bears, and the Packers. And the closest match was against the Bears, but they could not pull through.
Yeah. That, you know, as a fan, I was actually impressed with the growth of the team this week. They go up to Lambeau Field after a heartbreaking game against the Bears, where, actually, frankly, neither team played very well most of that game. They went out there and they played toe-to-toe with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. You know, what they cost them is three turnovers. Which led to, you know, 14 points and, you know, for the Packers. And then a red zone turnover, you know, where the ball just fell out of Joe Flacco's hands. You know, but they were able to, you know, start running the ball with Philip Lindsay and Royce Freeman. They just looked a little more confident than they had before, you know. You got to call it what it is, and the Broncos right now aren't a great team. But, you know, they got a game against the Jaguars, a team at home that they should be able to beat at home against a rookie, you know, quarterback Gardner Minshew. I like them to win this game, and I like them to win it pretty convincing. If they played like they did last week, you know, and cut out the turnovers, they should get their first victory here.
Looking at other games that we're looking at the NFL, of course, I thought that you know, many of these games this past weekend was pretty relevant of who is the best and who's not doing well. The Browns are not doing well. They lost against the Rams 20-13. Where do you see the Browns? Are they not what they're living up to, or just too early to tell?
It's a little early. San Diego, three games, it's hard to, you know, write off the team, but they haven't looked impressive, that's for sure. This is a team that, you know, with the talk of the offseason, you know. It was the talk of the offseason going into the offseason, you know, the way they finished up the year. And then they acquired Odell Beckham. You know, but they have rookie head coach Freddie Kitchens, who is, you know, struggling, you know, with the execution, you know, he needs as a, you know, being a play caller and a head coach. It's a big responsibility, you know. It's one thing to be a coordinator. It's another thing to be a head coach and calling the plays. It seems to be a little too much for Freddie. I would like to see him, you know, give up the play calling a little bit. You know, I think the Browns would be a lot better.
Daniel Jones, one of the rookie quarterbacks that had a win this past weekend. Has the Daniel Jones era begun?
Oh, it began with a bang, that's for sure. You know, I don't think the Buccaneers, you know, are an amazing team. But, you know, a win on the road is your first NFL start. That's good. The bad news is Saquon Barkley out 4 to, you know, at least 4 weeks. you know, up to 8 weeks, you know, with a high ankle sprain, I think will, you know, squash a lot of momentum they got from this week's victory.
Bills are 3-0. Are they a force to be reckoned with in the AFC East?
Right now it is Bills pandemonium here in Western New York, Santiago. People are very excited. They're very excited about, you know, the Patriots game this week, you know, with Tom Brady coming into Orchard Park. One of the most highly anticipated regular season games in a long time here. People are, you know, are waiting to see how good this team really is. You know, they beat the Jets and the Giants, and they beat, you know, a pretty, I think, poor Bengals team. So are they, you know, a product of the teams they played, or are they really that good? And there's no way other than to find that out against, you know, the Super Bowl champions, Patriots.
Something to look at. They'll be playing in Buffalo this weekend, a game that I'm actually predicting Buffalo win that game. But we'll see what Josh Allen's all about.
Yeah, I like to see the Bills win. Really, I say Mondays are always better in Western New York after the Bills win. So, as a Broncos fan, I'm kind of neutral, but I'm kind of positive. You know, I have a lot of Bills fans, especially my wife. So.
I believe Buffalo seems like they're more of the future of the AFC East than the Jets or the Dolphins, but we'll see how things pan out in the next couple of years. Anything else before we head into predictions?
When you get into the heart of football season, the NFL and college, you know, there's so many things going on. You know, we're kind of getting towards almost the midpoint of, you know, that the college football season with a lot of teams playing their, you know, their fifth game this week. You kind of really see, you know, which teams are good, which teams are bad, you know, contenders and pretenders. You know, especially now you're starting to see a lot of the conference games. So we're really, it's really an interesting time because you're with the beginning of the season, you got some high-profile non-conference games. You know, but for the most part, you know, we got a lot of, you know, games against lower competitions, you know, mismatches. So this is really, you know, the exciting time. Last week was kind of the unofficial kickoff, you know, to the college football season with so many great games, you know. In the NFL, it's just interesting to see how good, you know, the Chiefs really are. They haven't missed a beat from last year. You know, they're scoring, you know, an incredible rate still. And it's also, it's interesting as we see how good the rookie quarterbacks are going to do. When are the Redskins going to put in Dwayne Haskins? You know, Kyler Murray struggled against the Panthers. I want to say, how good was Kyle Allen of the Panthers last week? Coming off the, you know, is a second stringer for the Panthers and throwing four touchdown passes. That's a cool part about the NFL. You know, it seems like we find these every week, you know, you find a new storyline. But we'll see what happens. We'll see who surprises us this week.
Will Mason Rudolph be the future of the Steelers?
I don't know. I think I told you this last week. I think he's the future bet. You know, I think he's got a lot of capabilities. He can run the offense, but in the end, I think he's just going to be the future backup for the Steelers. I don't know if he's going to be the guy who they're going to depend on for long periods of time.
How about Luke Falk?
Probably not, Santiago. I don't know what his future is, but he's kind of struggled.
And I heard Will Greer will not be playing this season for the Broncos.
Will Greer?
No,
for the Panthers.
I mean, the Broncos' backup quarterback.
Oh, Drew Lock?
Drew Lock, yes.
There's a good point. You know, he's at least out till, you know, end of October. And you see how the year goes. I think, you know, they'd like to get him on the field, but there's a good chance, you know, they don't want to risk it because he is the future of the team, hopefully.
And Gardner Minshew is looking like, very comfortable at that starting role with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Again, you know, the NFL always provides us this unsuspecting headlines. You know, we think about the the Jaguars, you think about Nick Foles, and, you know, this team's ready to win, and all we're talking about is Gardner Minshew and his cool-looking stash.
And Jalen Ramsey, if he's going to play this weekend, but we'll find out.
Yeah, that's another mess.
You don't want him to play, but it's okay. Let's go into game predictions. Arizona State at Cal.
The toast of the Pac-12, the Cal Berkeley Golden Bears, 4-0 after their big victory against the Ole Miss Rebels last week. Arizona State coming off a victory over Colorado. Or Colorado beating Arizona State. Excuse me, I'm sorry. So Arizona State's looking to get back on track. But I think the Cal Bears move to keep their undefeated record alive and go 5-0.
Cali goes and wins. Texas Tech at Oklahoma.
Texas Tech, after a bye week after their loss to Arizona, things aren't going to get much better for them. And I think, you know, I think Jalen Hurts is looking to make a statement against their first conference game. So I think the Sooners will take.
Kansas State at Oklahoma State.
Kansas State undefeated, you know, coming off a bye themselves, you know, with a big win at Mississippi State the prior week. Oklahoma State with a valiant effort down in Austin last week. I think the Cowboys get back on track and give the Wildcats their first loss.
Virginia versus Notre Dame.
I think Virginia might be the second best team in the ACC, but I think Notre Dame, as long as they stay focused after their tough loss at Georgia last week, I think they'll be okay, so I'm going to pick the Fighting Irish.
Fighting Irish comes back and wins. USC versus Washington.
USC looked really good the other night against Utah, but I think Washington, you know, they look really well themselves against BYU, so I'm going to give it to Washington's home. I'm going to pick them.
Washington wins. Washington State versus Utah.
Oh, San Diego, we didn't talk about this, but what an epic comeback by UCLA against Washington State, down by 32 points in the second half. San Diego, for almost two games and three quarters, UCLA had only scored 42 points, and they scored 50 points in the last 19 minutes of the game. Isn't that crazy?
That's pretty crazy. It was a wild game. Wild game.
Who would you say, Washington State and
– and Utah.
In Utah, the game of two teams trying to get back on the winning track. I think that Washington State's going to be reeling after they lost. They're going to pick Utah in this game.
Utah comes back and wins. UCLA versus Arizona.
Pac-12 after dark, a late night showdown in the desert. Like I said, you know, UCLA's hot after that victory. I think they carry the momentum, and I think they start strong, but I'm going to pick Kevin Sumlin and Khalil Tate to win this game.
UCLA it is. Ohio State versus Nebraska.
Whew. I think this is a game I think a lot of people circled at the beginning of the season because I expected big things from Nebraska and Scott Frost. You know, Nebraska hasn't really looked impressive. You know, they lost to Colorado. And, you know, Ohio State's, you know, kind of steamrolling everybody. And I think this game has kind of fallen off the radar. It's a primetime game on ABC. Kind of that big game for Scott Frost to kind of leave his mark on this program. But I can't go against the Buckeyes. They're just playing too well, so I'm going to go Ohio State.
Ohio State continues their trek towards the playoffs. Florida versus Towson. Yeah. Florida versus Towson.
I'm going to say the Gators. I think I said earlier, I think they'll win by about 50 points.
By 50 points. NFL, Thursday Night Football, Eagles at Green Bay.
Huge game, especially for the Eagles. They need this more, so I'm going to go pick the Eagles.
Eagles winning in Lambeau. Buffalo versus Patriots.
My head says the Patriots. My heart says the Bills. But no one circles the wagon like the Buffalo Bills.
Buffalo Bills wins it first. That'd be an interesting matchup. Finally, Jacksonville at Denver.
I think this is the week we get on the winning track, Santiago, so I'm going to pick my beloved Denver Broncos. they get their first win of the season.
That is something to look at. I'm not sure. I think Gardner's mania will still continue. And random question, which team is the biggest threat to Alabama, LSU, or Auburn?
Oh, boy, Santiago. I'm going to say LSU just because right now I think their offense is ahead of Auburn's right now. I think Joe Burrow is playing well. You know, this is a game where it's usually very low scoring on LSU and Alabama get together. But, you know, I think a lot of people are looking forward to this shootout between Joe Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa that will be happening in about a month.
And the poll has LSU winning 60% to 40%. So everyone is going on your side on that end.
Yeah, I think we're going to learn. You know, I think Auburn might have the two most impressive victories of the year, beating Oregon and then winning last week at
A&M. Yeah, the huge win.
Yeah, so, you know, they've shown that they're a quality team, but, you know, the schedule they have is just kind of murderous. So,
SEC is something else. Top-heavy teams. Auburn, unexpected. Are they a dark horse? Can they become a dark horse?
Absolutely, San Diego. If they win at Florida next week, at first they got to beat, you know, Mississippi State this week, you know, who will test them a little bit. But, you know, they win at Florida, you know, they got a game, you know, against LSU, and they still have the games against, you know, Georgia. So they got a lot ahead of them, Santiago.
Yeah, I think Bama will have it a little bit easier beating LSU at home, but I think they're going to have it tough going to Auburn and winning that match. It's. I mean, playing in Auburn, it's going to be tough. It's just plain and simple.
Yes, you're right, for sure.
Anyways, Ryan, what is the best way to reach you to talk to about Gardner Minshew?
Probably the, you know, Twitter on the Mad Dog Report, so, you know.
Quite a tremendous NFL. Antonio Brown still has no team. He's quit the NFL. He's going to go back to college. We'll see where he will go. Obviously, some teams are interested in him, but I don't expect much from him this season. Perhaps next season he might play, but it's not as bad as other people think. But we'll see where the allegations go from there. Anyways, visit us on thesportscast.net or on Twitter at thesportscast1. Answer our poll, which team is the biggest threat to Alabama, LSU, Auburn? It closes in 18 hours, so you have time to answer which team is tougher. And of course, anything with sports, tweet us and message in any topic you want to discuss about. And of course, the sports world continues, never stops. Ryan, I appreciate you coming on to the sportscast.
No problem, Dan Dago. Thanks for having me.